here tonight. As I said last night, there's a lot of places folks can be. There's a lot of things. Everybody has a busy life. Lots of things pulling at us. And it just means so much that you chose to be with us tonight as we open God's Word and hopefully encourage one another. I think this song is like one of my favorite songs. I think it in some ways should be our calling card as Christians and maybe a prayer that we ought to be praying every day to God. And make me a servant like your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about Jesus tonight, of course, but Wednesday night as we finish the gospel meeting, we're going to talk about being a servant and how that should look in our lives. But just as an update before we get started, Chuck and Kathy had me out today. We were able to enjoy lunch together, and we went to the tractor place, the antique tractor. So those that are here, you know where that is. And being an antique buff, I've just, my eyes are this big, and I don't think there could be a antique tractor anywhere in the world now except right here. We kept going into room after room after room after room, and there's just all this antique stuff. So I really enjoyed that. Got to enjoy meeting them and seeing some more of the town here, and it's just such a beautiful place. It's just good to be with brothers and sisters of Christ. And I was telling them as we were eating, you know what, some of us may never see each other again. We don't know, you know, in this life, on this side of eternity. But we have this bond. Just one of the blessings we have as a child of God, that you just feel like your family the first time you meet, because we are. We are all the family of God. And just you have a wonderful, wonderful group here. Just as a side note here as we start, or maybe as a reminder, I guess. We've been talking a lot about making the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive. Sunday morning, we began in our Bible study hour by talking about really the narrowness of God's Word. And we looked at it from the story of Moses and how he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. But you know what? When God gives us commandments, he expects us to fulfill those commandments, and he doesn't make exceptions. And we need to remember that. We talked also later about I'm going to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive, and I'm going to make it so others see Jesus in me, then I need to put my entire heart into it. And we talked about, are we totally committed to our mission as members of the Lord's body? And then we talked last night, and I had the wrong slides up, and I apologize. I fixed that tonight. It's my fault. But we talked about love in regards to looking at the life of Jesus. If I'm going to be the kind of Christian that God calls me to be, the type of Christian that makes the gospel of Jesus Christ and his church attractive to outsiders, I have to have love. And we looked at it in regards to the love that Jesus had as our supreme example in all things and how he loved. And tonight we're going to look at it, love from us. From what is it supposed to look like in us? We should love like Jesus loved. If I'm to love like Jesus loved, well, what is that supposed to look like? And we're going to talk about that today. I don't know if you heard about the man. He decided he would buy a book. He hadn't done a lot of reading. And he picked up a book, and it was called The Man of the House. And he started reading that book, and it... Probably I don't recommend it, husbands, but he read it, and he believed everything that was in it. But anyway, he said, you know what, you should go home every night and just tell your wife exactly what you expect, and that you're the boss of the house, and she has to listen to everything you said. Well, he was really built up after he read that book, so he goes in, and this is what he said. Honey, I expect you to make a gourmet meal for me, the best food every single night. And I want my favorite dessert at the end. I want you to draw my bath for me. And I want you to have my clothes ready for me. And then he said at the end, he said, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? And she said, I can tell you it'll be the Undertaker, because I'm gonna kill you. But you know what? Love has to be real, doesn't it? Love, and we understand that in our relationships, right? I mean, we have to be real. And My friends, as we've mentioned, the world is looking at us as members of the Lord's body. They're looking at us whether we're genuine and whether we are real. And really, I believe that as we look at the way Jesus loved, we also must love the same way. And I hit the wrong, there we go. You know, we talked last night about Jesus loved those who were on the inside, those workers that were in the inside, in the kingdom. But he also loved those on the outside. We talked about all spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ, which means there are no spiritual blessings for those outside the body of Christ. And shouldn't we want those from the outside on the inside? Jesus did. Jesus also loved those that were vulnerable, who were going through issues in their life. And we can meet everybody. We saw a waitress today that helped us, and we prayed for her. And she said, I've got problems with my family, with my children. And she came back and said, thank you for praying with me. Folks go through a lot of things. We all are vulnerable at times. But to keep it simple, Jesus just loved everyone. We're going to start tonight in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Now, I'm going to repeat this because I think this is going to fit. This is Jeff Dillinger from the White Wall Church of Christ. And he talks there, and I know this is repetitive for those who were here last night, but he talks about how love was a thing the early church had that made them unstoppable. Now, that's very true. And as we look at the early growth of the church, as we look at these men that combined might have been somewhat unlearned and maybe not perhaps the best orators and all these things, what the New Testament says, in no time they turned the world upside down. The church grew in leaps and bounds. And in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it said they continued steadfastly, right? And I really believe they did have all things in common. And they loved each other. And Jesus said, this is how all people are going to know me. And we're going to talk about this tonight. John chapter 13 and verse 35. If you have love for one another. But in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19 and 20, Paul speaking here, and I think Paul is giving us and them, of course, a very powerful message here. And it's simple. It's a powerful message and a lesson, really, for us today. He says there in verse 19, beginning, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and your supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, and the Amplified Bible, which I don't use much, but I like the way they said, according to my earnest expectation with confidence. And I like that idea of throwing in confidence and hope that in nothing, Paul says, I shall be ashamed. Nothing. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Really powerful message when you look at this. Very powerful. Last night we looked at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 2. And remember, we were told there, you be like-minded. You have the same love, being of one accord, and again, of one mind. You know, if I'm going to be the type of person, as we talked about Sunday, that God will acknowledge as His people, that God will take note of, we have to have love. And we really, really do. It's something that's missing in the world we know, and something that's going to set us apart. Again, last night we looked at the idea of love in regards to how did it look like in Jesus Christ. But you see, when we see it in Jesus Christ, as Christians, we've got to see it in ourselves. And folks got to see it in us as well. They need to see that I am emulating the same kind of love that Jesus Christ emulated. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 tells us, for none of us lives to himself. And none of us die for ourselves or to ourselves. What does that mean? That means folks are watching. And if you don't think somebody's watching you, you know, we're wrong. The world is watching. The world knows if we profess to be Christians. And the world watches what we do and how we act. And we don't just live to ourselves. We influence others daily, every single day. And that influence can be either positive or negative. And I think as Christians, we just need to call out and say, we need more men and more women like Abel. But the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, although he is dead, he still speaks. The idea of posthumous influence that lives on once we are gone. And our good works and our examples live on. And indeed, that is such a blessing for us. We need folks like that. In every part of our life, Jesus gives us standards. Now, standards, as we mentioned earlier, could be high, and they are, right? I mean, Jesus expects a high standard. He expects from the moment we are baptized into Christ until we take our last breath. And I always kind of call it the level A. It's just like a level A standard. And it kind of, he expects it, and we have to fulfill that. It's like he expects it, and we should make it our calling card. As members of the Lord's body, to have love. Our marching order. Go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34. And here Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to you and he's talking to me. Now look at the discourse here in John chapter 13. It's extremely important. I don't want you to miss really even one word. What does Jesus say here? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. They will know that you are my disciples. Start with the word commandment there. Now, when you look at the word commandment, we all know what that means. That's a I can't get around statement, right? That's something I must do as a Christian. It's something that I can't just skirt or try to get around or get as close to that commandment as possible to see if I could just get close enough. But Jesus tells his disciples this is a commandment, a must do for every disciple and a must do for us even today. And my friends, I believe it's just as clear as baptism or our attendance or taking the Lord's Supper and remembering the Lord's Supper, all of those things. I can't skirt around it. Jesus says, a commandment. Again, I can't get around it. Must be my calling card. Must be a part of me. To love one another in such a way that there will be no doubt. What does he say there? That they're going to know that you are my disciples. No question about it, right? I don't know. I'm not sure if they're a disciple. I don't know. I think so. But I'm not sure. What does Jesus say? They're going to know. That's what is going to set us different and aside from other people. Think about the love that Jesus showed. You know, it wasn't a casual, hey, sometimes we all get caught up in this, hey, I love you, see you later, love you. And do we really love? I mean, I said yesterday, we use that word kind of flippantly. The other day, my daughter and my wife and I, we went into a restaurant. I can't remember what it doesn't really matter. Just like today, great waiter, waitress, this was a waiter, and he started talking, and he said, I love you. And I just kind of looked around, who is he saying he loves? And every time he came back, every few minutes, I mean, couldn't get one drink out of the cup before he was filling it back up. I love you. And then, of course, then I heard him the next table over, I love you. And the next table over, hey, I love you. And I said, I haven't been told I love you that much in my life. I mean, I'm serious. And then when I got ready to put my tip in, I told my wife and I said, we got to tip in big because, I mean, he told me he loved me up 50 times. And my wife said, don't you know why he's saying? He said it to that person and that person and that person and that person. He wants to get a good tip, you know. Did he love me? I don't know. But I don't think he loved the whole restaurant, as he said. But we understand sincere love, right? I mean, we love to hear it, but it needs to be sincere. Jesus said, this must be real. This must be a genuine love that's demonstrated. It means it's got to be active in our lives. And in verse 35, basically what he's saying is that this is your life. This is my life from now on. When I put on Christ, this is the way I need to act. Wherever I go, where whatever I do, whoever I come in contact with, whatever I say, this is my calling card. The folks are going to know that I follow Jesus Christ. Men are going to know that I follow Christ Jesus, and I'm a member of his body without question. You see, it's a commandment now. It's a commandment forever. It's a measuring stick, right? We often talk about measuring stick as a Christian. It's our measuring stick. It's our must-have. It's our high bar that we have to work to obtain. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus, here we're going to see even, he's going to set the bar even higher for us. Doesn't get easier, right? What does he say here in Luke chapter 6? I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. I don't want to do that. What does human nature say? Wait a minute. Those that are my enemies, those that despitefully use me, those that I don't even want to have around me, you're telling me, Jesus, I'm supposed to love those people? He says, this is important. This is the difference. And this is going to be the difficult commandment sometimes to fulfill. But I tell you, when we learn to fulfill love like this, we're going to be different. We're going to be separated. Do you think the world notices? Do you think they notice when someone loves an enemy? Or somebody does something bad and we bless them? Or we pray for those who despitefully use you? Does that sound like what the world would do? No. It sets us apart. It's that separator. You know, to love our enemies, to do good, to bless, to pray. And then he goes even higher. Look at verse 29. When he strikes you, go to the other one. Go to the other cheek. If he takes your cloak, give him your tunic too. In verse 30. Give to everyone who asks. Don't expect anything back. If someone takes your goods, don't ask for them. You see, the level is getting higher and higher and higher here. Jesus has the right. He has the right to place that high standard because Jesus lived exactly this standard. Jesus lived this standard and even more. Remember what I talk about often, the separator commandments, the things that separate us from the world. This is one of those again. This is just a separator. I mean, does this sound like something the world would do? Do you see how that would set us apart if we obey that command? What Jesus is telling us and commanding us, expecting from us, is completely different. Countercultural, right? We're going to talk about that tomorrow night, Lord willing. Being a countercultural Christian. Completely different than the world. Lord, you tell somebody that I know hates me, that I'm supposed to say I love you back. Or somebody curses me, and you expect me to bless that person after they've hurt me or hurt someone in my family or someone that I love. Somebody steals from me. I'll just take their stuff if they stole my stuff. But you're telling me not to do anything? I'm supposed to pray for those who do bad or pay back double? You see the separator statement, the separator command that's different than the world that he expects from us? Then verse 35, you know, it gets even more. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping nothing for return, and your reward will be great. Why? Because he, Jesus, is also kind, or God is also kind to the unthankful and the evil. Love your enemies, lend expecting nothing back. Why? Because God himself is kind. God himself loves. God himself is grateful even to those that are ungrateful and help those that are even evil. Another separator statement as a child of God. And it's beautiful, though, when you look at here, that there's a reward. If I can live that way, and so often in the Scriptures, I just love it, where if we just simply do what God says and we have faith in it, he gives us a blessing. There's the blessing. You know what? Your reward's going to be great. I mean, isn't that wonderful? All I have to do is love everyone. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to be called the sons of the Most High. Your reward will be great. Over and over again in God's Word, we're told to love. Paul would, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 says, remember to the young people, but it applies to us as well. Let no one despise your youth, right? In verse 12. And you know what? As a young person, a middle-aged person, an older person, you watch in your words, your conduct, your love, your spirit, your faith, and purity. You live that way. And then in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, in verse 11, it says, now, you're living this way. And then he says in verse 11, but then you also flee. You've got to put away certain things, right? You've got to do certain things, take away lusts and corruption and greediness. Excuse me, love of money. Then you put in practice. You pursue, after you take those things off, you pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, gentleness, and love. There's our word. Putting on love. And this love, although we should expect it and see it expressed in this building, and it is here. I'm just so impressed. But it needs to be expressed outside this building to others we come in contact with. Maybe even more importantly, to put into practice, you know, when we go to the schools, when we go to work, when we go to restaurants, when we go to the ball field, when we go anywhere, to have that love that people can see. You see, the truth is when I love like this, and members of the Lord's body get to that level where we love like this, there are no better ambassadors for the Lord's church. There's no better ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ than people seeing us genuinely loving. But make no doubt about it, if we don't obtain this, folks are also looking at us not having the love that we ought to love. It works both ways. Well, the very last night, I think it was, we talked about Jesus. We love like He commands us to love. We become the best ambassadors. But simply, we are to be held to the same standard, no more and more, no less. Let me go back. You see, remember when we said that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, that He lowered His position? We talked last night about, you know what, He was speaking to failures there. Because there were men, there were disciples there that should have jumped up to do that. But yet Jesus Christ jumped in and washed the disciples' feet. He said, I'm giving you a standard. I'm leaving you an example that you ought to also wash each other's feet. Shows servanthood, but especially it shows love. Folks have to see it in us. After they even know that they see it in Jesus, they have to see it in us. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13, 1 through 3, tells us there that let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. By doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing. Verse 3, remember those in chains. And look at this, it says, and remember as if you were chained with them. Higher standard. You love them. You be close to them. You remember them as if you were chained also. You have that empathy and love for them. I guess in every part of our walk of life, we're simply held to a higher standard. I don't know about you, but when I think about Jesus and everything that He did for us, shouldn't we want to be held to a higher standard? Don't we want to be different than the world? Don't we want to have these separator parts of our lives? And shouldn't we be praying every day, Lord, help me to get to that level of love? Because simply, we're only being held to the same standard as Jesus Christ. He's not asking for any more, but no less either. Well, we need to love like the Lord loved. He loved those on the outside. Ephesians chapter 1, remember, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And we looked at the slide before that Jesus loved those on the inside. Remember the 99, the sheep? There were 99 sheep. There were 99 sheep where they were supposed to be, right? They were where they were supposed to be. You definitely, they didn't wander off. They were acting as they should be acting, doing exactly what they are supposed to do, the 99. Those that are working, those who you can count on, those who constantly and consistently follow the commandments of God, those that we can count on. Think about that in regards to the 99 of even members. And while we love the 99, we love the 99. The 99 are often taken for granted. And we need to be careful, even in the church. We sometimes, now we're going to get to the one yet, but we forget about the 99. The 99 who are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're the ones that you can count on. You got something going on at church, you know who to call. You got something that happens that you need some help, you know who to call. You know who's going to be at services and who might not be or whatever. We understand that. If somebody needs to be volunteered, you know who to call. We all know that. The 99. But do you think maybe the 99, they might be suffering? They might be in a position where their faith is wavering. They might be having difficulties. They might need love in their lives. While we concentrate on the one as Jesus tells us to, and we should, let's not forget the 99. One went away, and that one is very, very vital and important. But the 99, we need to remember those that are in, that are working every day, that are on the inside. Jesus loved those on the inside. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. Don't grow weary, right, in well-doing. We will reap. We will reap if we just hold steady. Number two, Jesus loved those, though, as we should, on the outside. Jesus loved those on the outside. We must also, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we talked about again, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Zero spiritual blessings outside of Jesus. Do we love those on the outside? And this is the only question we can answer ourselves. Do we love those on the outside that are not enjoying those spiritual blessings enough and their souls enough to tell them about Jesus Christ or to care or to show them love? That's just simply the question. They're enjoying zero spiritual blessings. All blessings in Christ, none outside of Christ. Don't we want them to enjoy this? Now, this might be a strange passage in Ezekiel chapter 34, 1 through 6, but I honestly believe it really, really fits. It absolutely fits about those being on the outside and caring about them and wanting them on the inside. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, not have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they are scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered throughout the mountains and on every hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. And look at this. And no one was seeking or searching for them. No one cared about my sheep. Wow, how sad. And I guess I'm talking to myself. Shame on us. Honestly. Shame on us as brothers and sisters in Christ not to care about folks that are on the outside. I mean, to realize where the eventually they're going to go. And what is being said here, no one cares. And sometimes I think we can even find ourselves in that way that we just don't care anymore. What's he saying here? As shepherds, you're eating and you're clothing yourself. You're not even feeding the flock. Shame on you, basically. God is saying, you're giving no love, no caring. And my flock is scattered in all directions. But I think the worst part, honestly, is the latter part. And you're fine with it. That's what's sad. You're fine. You just live that way. You're okay. The whole flock is scattered. The whole flock is dying and being used as food. And you're on the inside and you're just enjoying everything. And you don't care. And I think by only the mercy of God, that could be us, right? And maybe we were that. We were on the outside one time and somebody cared about us. We need to realize we need to love those who've never obeyed the gospel, who've never been able to partake in the spiritual blessings. We need to realize that every soul is very important. And honestly, shame on us if we don't. Jesus loved the vulnerable. Every one of us. Raise your hand if you're not vulnerable. I think, you know what? We're all vulnerable in one way or another. I got a list up there, but I mean, doesn't this describe one of us or all of us at one time? Lonely, discouraged, tempted, being tested, distracted. Weak spiritually, being tempted by the world. The list could go on and on. We could have slide after slide on this. Jesus loved those that are vulnerable. We're all vulnerable at one time or another. There could be folks right here in this room that are hurting, that are worried about their kids or their spouse or their grandchildren, worried about their souls. Maybe it's a job or a financial issue or a health worry. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. We need to realize, you know what? We're not so high and mighty that we can't be vulnerable from time to time. We all need love demonstrated and shown to us. But we also need to be demonstrating that love to others. Because there are a lot of folks. There are a lot of folks that fit this bill that are actually vulnerable. We need to love vulnerable like Jesus. You know, to keep it simple, just be like Jesus. Love everyone. And if we just did that simple mindset, love them where they are, how they are, with their wrinkles and their spots, just like Jesus loved us. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, love never stops, right? Love is patient, it says. Love believes. Love hopes. I just like the latter part of that verse. Love just simply never gives up. That's the love that we're called to. A love that just never gives up. I don't have to worry. Let me just love everyone. And if I love everyone, I can promise you, not only will we live countercultural, folks might even look like we're weird. I don't know. Maybe. Now, I came from Arkansas, and I moved to Florida at one time. Now, in Arkansas, I don't know if y'all do it here. Everybody waves. Does everybody wave here? Especially if you're driving a pickup, because us pickup guys, we stay together. But you wave. You wave, or you're kind of like, you know, if you want to be cool, you kind of go like that, or like that, maybe. But we get to Florida, nobody waves. Nobody waves. And I mean, I'm just, hey, anyway, especially if I saw a truck that I like. You know, I'm going like this or whatever. People, honestly, I mean, before too long, people thought I was a weirdo. I know they did. And it took me a long time to stop waving, you know. Now I'm back in Arkansas and I'll wave and someone's like, oh, I got to get used to waving again, you know. But you know what? Just simply love everybody. Just simply find something that they can see love in us. I promise you we're going to stand out. We're never going to be able to help someone. Never. We're never going to be a positive example. We're never going to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive to others. We're never going to influence people for Christ and His church if we don't love. And we don't use that love. In fact, we'll do much more damage than good. I don't know if I have a... John Fawcett, isn't he? He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Some of you may know who I'm talking about. In 1773... there was a man by the name of John Fawcett. He was a preacher in a very poor church in England. He became a writer while he was preaching at this little church, and he actually found some success in his writing. After years of being with this very small church and really struggling financially and, you know, with his kids just barely getting by, he was asked finally to come to a very large church in London, where the money was a lot better, better salary, nice home that he wasn't used to. And he took the job. He was excited about taking that job. The day came when John and his wife were packing up their meager stuff. Members of that poor church came and helped him load. His wife began crying. This is what his wife said. John, I cannot bear to leave where I am at. John said, neither can I. We shall remain here with our people, our family. And they began to unload their wagons. And they spent, believe it or not, true story, 54 more successful years at this poor church outside of London with the people that he loved. Well, he was a songwriter, too. We sing the song that John Fawcett wrote many, many times, and it's called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Now, think about Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. He talks about Christian love, and he loved those folks enough to sacrifice for them. Just an unbelievable part that, you know, love basically knows no end. Love gives unlimited forgiveness, Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Unlimited giving to others, Romans 9, 1 through 3. Endless boundaries, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. Jesus demonstrated this love. God did as well. As John 3:16 tells us, he loved us enough to send his only son, to sacrifice him on that cross for us. Jesus helped break all boundaries of love, unlike any love before or after. Jesus went as far as he possibly could. He did all that he could ever do for our salvation. And he rescues us from going in that wrong direction each and every day of our lives. You know, there's so many blessings in Jesus Christ, but there's also consequences if we don't obey. C.S. Lewis said it this way: hell is the greatest monument to human freedom. Sad but true. God gives all to us, and ultimately what we want. And he's going to give us freedom from him to those who don't want to obey someday. And we live, and we will live in all eternity with the consequences of our choices if they're wrong. You see, high standard, yes. Christianity countercultural, yes. Do we need to stand out in today's society to make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive? Do you think people appreciate folks that show love? Absolutely. And my friends, we have to do everything we can. Even in this world, I believe with all my heart, there are so many people that are searching. I believe with all of my heart, there are so many that are struggling, just trying to find the truth. And we need to be those people that fill that void for them and show them what Jesus Christ has done for us, to demonstrate as much as we can to the degree of Jesus, to love like Jesus Christ. Not always easy. Do we have to work on it? Absolutely. Dividends are unbelievable. The reward is unbelievable. I want to leave you tonight, as I always do, with God's simple plan of salvation. My friends, we just have to hear the word, to believe what we've heard, to repent of our sins, to turn away from the world, to turn away from sin, turn away from darkness, turn towards God. Turn towards his son. Turn towards those blessings that are attached with being a child of God. To turn to our Heavenly Father. To confess with our mouths that we believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. That he did all of those things we talked about. That he loved and he set the standard. He went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered, bled, and died for me. And he arose on the third day. And today he's at the very right hand of God. And he's here tonight. With us, we know. And he's done so much for us. And upon that good confession that you're baptized into Christ, rising out of that watery grave, a new creature, your sins forgiven, coming in contact with the very blood of Jesus Christ, to become a member of the Lord's body, the church that we find in the New Testament, the church that Jesus died for. And then we become in contact with all of those blessings. And then we need to emulate the love of Jesus. We need to do everything we can to bring those on the outside into the inside and let them enjoy those same spiritual blessings. You know, we serve a God who does so much for us. I can't imagine us not being committed to strive, at least, to try to love like Jesus Christ. If you have any need at all, we certainly offer the invitation to you. We would love to pray with you or for you or to help you in any way that we can. Won't you come as we're led in the invitation song?